Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
It's Monday, October 9th, 2023. This is the Alex Jones Show. I am on a very, very important information mission, and I will be filing reports from the road over the next 3 days. I will be back Thursday. We're going to have Harrison Smith and Chase Geiser both co-hosting today. I also taped an interview with a very informative journalist and researcher on Saturday that we'll be airing in part of the third and the full fourth hour today. Again, thank you so much for joining us. The big takeaway, if you happen to tune into the Sunday night show, you heard it all. The big takeaway is this. No way Israel didn't know that attack was coming, so it is like 9/11. They knew full well it was coming. It was a clear stand down, and that is now hitting the news. Also, what I told you on Saturday, he's now admitted that Hezbollah took much of the $6 billion that O'Biden gave them last month and gave that to the tens of thousands of suicide operators that were sent in to southern Israel out of the Gaza Strip. Many of them, of course, were North Africans and others, and were clearly paid jihadists. They get up to $100,000, some cases more, for going out and fighting, and especially if they die, their family is sent even more money. If you divide out, say, $600,000 between 10,000 of these suicide trips, that comes up to the $6 billion. But large portions of the $6 billion were obviously spent for the suicide payments, but the rest was spent on weapons. Then you have the tens of billions of dollars of weapons coming out of Afghanistan that's now confirmed to be there, U.S. hardware, as well as a lot of hardware sent to Ukraine that's there. So this has been brought to you by the globalist deep state that will now use this as crackdowns on freedoms in Israel, crackdowns here, crackdowns in Europe. It's also a good smokescreen for what has unfolded with the Russians clearly decisively now winning the war in Ukraine against NATO. So if you pull back from this, what's the other big issue? It's the tens of thousands of other than Mexican or other than Latin American pouring across even just the Texas sector every month. Sometimes it's thousands a week. They're almost all military-age men, and many of them are Hezbollah and Hamas. But again, Hezbollah out of Iran is the main group that did the training, the preparation, and made the payments. As I told you on Saturday, people were like, oh, Jones doesn't even know the difference between Hezbollah and Hamas. No, I've actually done the research, know what I'm talking about. And so there are tens of thousands, conservatively, of Hezbollah sleeper cells inside the United States right now. And if you think what you saw in Israel was a big deal, imagine what is going to happen inside the United States even when we go to war with Iran. So we've been pre-positioned for this, and the globalists will love it. It'll make 9/11 look tame in comparison with the 3,000 dead when and if they strike the United States. The many members of Congress are now pointing this out. There's big articles up on Infowars.com. So it's something we have to get ahead of here and let the CIA and Mossad and MI6 and NATO intelligence and all the rest of them know that even when there's massive attacks in the West, you with the UN set up these centers, brought in these people, you know exactly what you're doing, and many of them admit that they're jihadists. And so I would expect the probability in the next year, maybe even sooner, of a massive 9/11 style attack, but all over the country. They're going to hijack planes. They're going to use the same thing you saw with hang gliders. A lot of them know how to fly an aircraft. They're going to steal aircraft all over the United States, fly them into buildings, fly them into government buildings, attack sports stadiums full of people, attack colleges, you name it, big gatherings. And then the government will get more funding, and those that do the stand down and brought the illegal aliens in and the jihadis in will actually get more money and more funding and more power, because logic has been murdered. Just like Netanyahu, clearly going to stand down, is now going to get more power and more control. He's about to be ousted from power. So war is the health of the state. That's what's going on, and that's the reality. I would direct everybody to band.video and the first hour of my show last night, where I lay this all out in basically complete detail. Also, a lot of the Israelis that have moved into Israel are not conservative and don't like guns. So many of those are right up on the border with the Gaza Strip, and 2.5 million people that want to kill them were unarmed and don't like weapons. Also, you saw the hang gliders come in and attack the big party rave that was going on at a, quote, peace rally, reportedly killed 200 there. So they're saying a couple hundred are dead across Israel, thousands injured. It's actually much, much higher, and I would expect thousands and thousands dead, perhaps tens of thousands wounded, but that will be unfolding in the days to come. This is a big deal and part of the global escalation, so the big banks can bring in their new global central system and new currency. Again, we have several big guest hosts coming up. Infowars.com, tomorrow's news today. I'm Alex Jones. Please stay with us and please spread the word. That's how we bypass big tech and the censors. Stay with us. Last year, we put this book out, The Great Reset and the War for the World. It became a number one national bestseller. Now we put part two out, and it's even thicker and more powerful. The Great Awakening, the plan to defeat the globalists and launch the second great renaissance. This is such a powerful book. It covers all the globalist plans, the latest developments, how to stop them, and then gives an alternate plan of the society we could build together. That's why it's The Great Awakening. The Great Awakening is happening right now. You can get signed or unsigned copies of the book at InfoWarsStore.com. This is a historic book. I want to thank you all for your support. This is next level information, and it's a great way to not just support the broadcast, but inform yourself to the next level and share the book with friends and family. So whether you want one copy or multiple copies, go now to InfoWarsStore.com and get The Great Awakening. This is going to go to number one. I want to thank you for your support. It's a powerful book. Get yours now.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday, the 9th of October, 2023. You're watching The Alex Jones Show, and folks, we are on the cusp of World War III. I do not think that's an exaggeration. I'm Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex Jones with Chase Geiser. We'll be co-hosting the show today. We'll also be going to an interview for about the second half of the show. We'll be joined by Michael Yon, who's a celebrated combat journalist. Getting his take on, of course, the biggest story, probably the only story we'll cover today, Chase, the unprecedented attack on Israel by Hamas and the Palestinians out of Gaza. Unprecedented is the word they keep using, and it really is an attack really bigger than anything that has happened between Gaza and Israel for their entire existence. But Chase Geiser, welcome to the show. We're going to be tackling this. What a day to be hosting the Alex Jones Show.
Absolutely. When we were scheduled for this, I had no idea that Israel was going to be attacked, and there's conflicting reports as to whether or not Mossad may have known that they were going to be attacked.
Right.
But I've been learning up as much as I can about this subject over the weekend, and you've enlightened me quite a bit. You're informed, and this is something you've had substantial opinions on for some time, and this is a fascinating and terrifying development indeed.
Yeah, and, you know, neither one of us clearly, you know, obviously neither one of us are experts specifically on the Middle East. But that's okay. We really dedicated our, you know, for the last 48 hours. I mean, I've just been studying this from every different angle, trying to just get a full grasp of what's going on. And hopefully that's what we can deliver to the viewers and the listeners today, is just an understanding of sort of how we got here and where this goes from here. Because when I look at the current situation, what I see is a line of carefully set up dominoes ready to fall and lead us to World War III. And I think that's where I approach this. I know that's where you approach this as well. We were sort of joking at one point about, you take Israel, I'll take Palestine, and we'll go head to head. We'll solve this thing by the end of the show. We'll argue it out. We'll figure out the conclusion. There is no easy answer to this, obviously. Neither side is right or wrong, totally good or totally evil. And you have to actually be able to sympathize with and understand the stances of both of these people, both of these groups, both of these, you know, the bodies engaged in this conflict, to understand where it goes from here and why they're fighting and what it's going to take to end it. Because I think that's where we both come in, is how do we get peace out of this absolute quagmire of generational conflict?
Maybe it's a good thing that we're not Middle Eastern experts, because oftentimes I've found that with issues like this, the experts are sort of entrenched in their school of thought. They've written books and they want to sort of find reasons to back up what they've always thought or said. And really, here at InfoWars, we're all just committed to applying logic to information as it comes in, using critical thinking, thinking independently, and not just taking whatever the narrative says for granted. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's actually a breath of fresh air that we're in a position to tackle such a complicated and long-standing issue with fresh eyes.
Yeah, because this isn't something that we've, you know, this conflict in particular isn't something that we've dedicated our time to, but understanding the overall geopolitical landscape is something that we've both dedicated a lot of time on. And so neither one of us have sort of an interest on either side, but an interest in peace and an interest in, for me, keeping America out of this war. After all, we've seen this before. I mean, we've seen the war drums. We've seen the horrifying images, which are horrifying. I mean, you can't deny what the attacks, you know, the videos that came out of these attacks are shockingly modern. I mean, in certain ways, there's video of this music festival and paratroopers gliding into the music festival. People are like dancing to techno. I mean, we're in such a bizarre
Red Dawn
situation.
Moment.
Yeah, like a true Red Dawn moment, but Red Dawn on acid. Like, it's so bizarre what we're dealing with here. So let's just get you some of the latest. From Al Jazeera, death toll soars to 1,300 as fighting between Hamas and Israel rages. More than 800 Israelis and some 500 Palestinians have been killed amid heavy fighting and bombardment following the largest attacks by Palestinian armed group Hamas against Israel in decades. Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant said on Monday authorities would impose a total blockade on the Gaza Strip, cutting electricity and blocking food and fuel supplies as part of a complete siege on the Hamas-run enclave. It came as Gaza's Ministry of Health said at least 510 Palestinians had been killed and 2,751 more had been wounded in Israeli air raids on the enclave since Saturday when Hamas launched its multi-pronged offensive on Israel. And the big question here is Israel going to invade Gaza? And I mean, there's so many different ways to get into this topic. Obviously, we can talk about what contributing factors may have come from the Biden administration, the $6 billion to Iran. Did that have an effect on this? Did his response yesterday do anything to calm the situation or inflame the situation? It's my interpretation that basically what Biden did was almost the worst thing he could have done. He essentially said that we'll give Israel all the equipment that they need, signaling that Israel or America is not going to get involved personally in this. Like, we're not going to be sending personnel in. And Israel doesn't really need weapons right now. What they need is people, and they just don't have it. Actually, one of the latest headlines is that Israel has called up 300,000 reservists amid counteroffensive push in Israel-Hamas war. They've called up 300,000 military reservists to respond to a Hamas-led terror attack and invasion on the Gaza Strip, which resulted in at least 800 dead Israelis. The draft is the largest ever for Israel. Israel, of course, actually declaring that it's at war with Gaza for the first time since 1973, I believe, was the last time they were officially in a state of war. And the question is, are they going to invade Gaza? This is from Mario Nofal, a Hezbollah operative, was killed by IDF strikes in southern Lebanon. So the domino effect. Essentially, as I understand it, what's happening now is that Israel has said we're going to go into Gaza. We're going to push in. In fact, this just broke a few minutes ago from Axios. Bibi Netanyahu has said, quote, we have to go in. Bibi tells Biden as Israel prepares for possible ground invasion of Gaza. So they're set on doing a ground invasion. Hezbollah has said if Israel invades Gaza with ground forces, then that brings Hezbollah into the situation. America has essentially said, and whether this is official, you know, from the Biden administration or whether this is just Lindsey Graham spouting off from Gateway Pundit, warmonger Senator Lindsey Graham warns if Hezbollah intervenes in Israel-Palestine conflict, U.S. must respond against Iran. So, I mean, it is a literal domino effect. If they go into Gaza, Hezbollah attacks Israel, America gets into the conflict, then you have Iran, Syria, and even Russia to a certain extent going gloves off. And we have hundreds, if not thousands, of American servicemen in the Middle East as sitting ducks if Iran or Syria were to, you know, start bombarding them. It would be hundreds of American servicemen lives lost, and you can just see how it spirals out from there. So, I mean, this is a inflection point in more ways than one geopolitically, and if this isn't handled correctly, it is World War III, no doubt. If this isn't very carefully dealt with in a way that, you know, is hyper-focused on just stopping this from spiraling out into World War III, then that is what comes next, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think the craziest thing about this, I'm a big fan of Sun Tzu's Art of War and 48 Laws of Power, things like that. You never attack a stronger enemy head-on. That's just like a basic rule of war. Stupid to do that. You have to use guerrilla warfare or other methods in order to attack an enemy that's stronger than you. And the fact that they were so audacious with this attack is interesting to me because obviously they were trying to solicit or provoke some sort of a response. And so I'm curious as to whether the intention is to get Israel to respond aggressively so as to set off this domino effect.
Well, definitely I think the Palestinians and Gaza and Hamas and really even the wider, they call themselves the axis of resistance, but from Hezbollah to Hamas, you know, a lot of these militia groups, most of them funded by Iran, they don't want to go back to the status quo. They want this to be an inflection point. They don't want this to be just another sort of situation where there's an attack, there's an exchange of hostages, and they go back to being in an open-air prison in Gaza. They don't want that. They want a change in situation, and that's what they're going for, and they're going to get it one way or another. And, I mean, Israel is really in a very, very tough spot right now because, again, they cannot afford not to go into Gaza, but if they do go into Gaza, then it's gloves off for all the enemies that surround them. So, again, where this goes is still totally up in the air. Of course, the Israeli president said the state of Israel will win. We have no other choice, saying basically they have to go into Gaza. Because what happens is if they don't go into Gaza, that means they're not really the top dogs in the Middle East anymore. Their action is being limited by an outside force, which is an entirely new situation for Israel. It's extremely interesting.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. DanPilla.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
To the Alex Jones Show, I am Chase Geiser filling in with the great Harrison Smith for the great Alex Jones. So much going on today, Harrison. What's been crazy to me about it is I've been going off for a year about how I hate that we're supporting Ukraine, and I tease it as because they're Nazis, and that is a primary reason that I'm against funding Ukraine, but the ultimate reason that I'm against it is just because I'm America first.
Right.
And this is the challenge that I see when – this is the problem that I have with the Republican Party, because we've seen this brutal attack, and it is an evil, brutal attack on Israel. And immediately I see Republican after Republican, conservative after conservative, throwing up the Israeli flag in their bios, just like the leftists threw up the Ukraine flag. And I'm thinking, hey, even though – I may personally like Israel a lot more than I like Nazi sentiments in Ukraine, I still am an American and believe in America first. So isn't the consistent position that we not throw billions upon billions of dollars at Israel like we have for Ukraine?
Well, isn't it amazing that we already have sent billion? I mean, didn't we just, immediately $6 billion to Israel? So, I mean, clearly they have sort of these agreements already in place to facilitate sending money like that. But have we not been through this before with wars in the Middle East? They're a bad idea. I don't know how many times we have to learn the lesson. Like, it's a bad idea for America to get involved in any way, but certainly not with boots on the ground. And the fact is that, you know, remember after Trump killed Soleimani, the Iranians responded. They sent a missile. It didn't have a warhead on it. It didn't have explosives, but landed a missile inside a American military base that gave traumatic brain injury to like 80 or 90 soldiers. And that was almost a symbol. It's like these bases in the Middle East are vulnerable to attack if the gloves come off with Iran. The crew just pulled up a statement saying the White House has called a lid already for today. So there will be no more statements from the White House today, I guess, which is a little bit bizarre. And clearly the Biden administration, I mean, you know, obviously one of the main sentiments out today is like, if Trump was in charge, this wouldn't have happened. And there's no doubt in my mind that that's true. This is purely, and I personally don't think it has anything to do with the $6 billion released last, 2 weeks ago to Iran. I mean, that money hasn't actually been doled out yet. I don't think that has much of an effect, especially when you look at the situation of the Gazans and the Hamas, how it's existed for a while. I don't think you need $6 billion to get a bunch of young guys with rifles to storm, you know, through a wall. This wasn't a big money operation. This was a personnel operation, and the personnel already exist there in Gaza. So I don't know how much that has to do with it, but definitely the Biden administration's overall weakness and ineptitude and just bungling everything. I mean, one of the headlines from InfoWars, I'm sure it's somewhere in this pile, is about the fact that there are weapons from Afghanistan in Gaza right now being used by Hamas. Yeah, here it is. Israel, U.S. arms left in Afghanistan reach Gaza. So in more ways than one, the Biden administration's total failure of geopolitical gravitas has led us to this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that just baffles me is how this could have possibly been a surprise. I know that we maybe disagree. I don't have a solid position on this, but it's hard for me to believe that our intelligence communities, both of which, including Mossad and CIA, United States intelligence agencies, have known about so many major events prior to their happening and then allowed them to happen all the way back to Pearl Harbor, maybe even earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously Vietnam and what happened with 9/11, I think they knew ahead of time and allowed it to happen. it's hard for me to believe that as sophisticated as these intelligence agencies supposedly are, they didn't know that this was coming. And to your point about the $6 billion, I think based off of the coordination that we saw, based off of the fact that this was a 50-year anniversary of a prior major event, I think that this was being planned long before just the last 6 weeks.
Mm.
I think that they were planning to do something like this. There was training going on. There was different doling out of who's going to fly in where. They knew the festival was going to be heavily populated, and they knew that the festival was going to be populated with multinational people.
Mm.
So they knew that it would trigger the world in a way if they would attack it, and there was going to be a lot of people in a consolidated area outside, just totally exposed to gunfire. So I think that they had planned this for a long time, and the longer that they've been planning it for, the more likely it is that Mossad or the CIA would have been aware of it. And I'm not surprised that Joe Biden's surprised about anything necessarily, but I do find it hard to believe that Mossad didn't know this was coming.
Well, you know, the latest information about that is that Iran was helping to coordinate this about 2 weeks ago. They met in Beirut. I mean, that's the latest report, is that there was a meeting in Beirut with some of the leadership of the Iranian Republican Guard to give the green light, essentially, to this attack. And it's, I mean, it's not speculation. It's very clear. You've got Hezbollah, you've got Hamas, and actually the part of Hamas that carried this out, Hamas is the overall term for, like, the military people in Gaza or in Palestine. But within that, you have the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, I think is the name of the group. And that is the Iranian-funded, Iranian-trained, almost like Hezbollah franchise in Gaza that carried this out. I don't know. I really don't know, because it's either that Mossad is super capable and sort of allowed this to be carried out, as honestly, I sort of have expected something like this for a while, because there's been so much strife in Israel. There's been so much division in Israel. There's so much political turmoil in Israel. I've sort of been waiting for, like, okay, when's the big attack going to come so they can unify their people and, you know, cast to the side all of the internal conflicts. So there is a reason why they would want to let this be carried out. But the other side of it is, maybe they did just underestimate their enemies here. I mean, they've said, a former Mossad leader said, you know, this is unimaginable. We could not have imagined. I was talking to my friend yesterday and kept just saying, that's a failure of imagination. I mean, they just didn't think this was possible, so they weren't prepared for it. They didn't think the Palestinians could pull something like this off, so they weren't, defending against this possibility. And so it may very well be that just Mossad underestimated what these people were capable of. And I mean, you have, you know, there's no way to train paratroopers in a cave, right? There's no way to train paratroopers in a tunnel.
Right.
So clearly these attacks and the people who carried them out had to be trained outside of Gaza. It would have been impossible for them to avoid Mossad that way. But at the same time, they somehow got into Gaza and then were able to launch this attack without alerting the IDF or Mossad. So I mean, what do you think? Do you think they did less? I mean, they have reasons to let this happen, obviously.
My inclination is to say that they knew it was going to happen and allowed it to happen. Maybe they were thinking, hey, we have a major vulnerability because we don't have enough of a standing army. We're very well equipped. We have a lot of technology, but we don't have a lot of boots on the ground to do some of the activities that we want to do. I know you mentioned when we were speaking earlier that they have struggled with the region prior in terms of trying to occupy it and just being a nightmare, sort of a slaughter for infantry. So if you want 300,000 troops overnight, the best way to do it is to have some sort of a domestic event that can justify sort of conscripting everyone all at once in a way that you couldn't in times of peace.
You know, it almost doesn't matter whether it was on purpose or not. Like, at a certain point, it doesn't matter what the arguments are or whether it was on purpose or not. We're dealing with the real-world warfare taking place here. And at the end of the day, it's whoever's stronger is going to win. And I mean, this conflict is just getting started. Where it goes from here is anybody's guess, but it's nowhere good. We'll be back on the other side to talk about how the international players all come into this. Stay with us, folks. It's the Alex Jones Show, InfoWars.com.
Where were you when humanity was fighting for its life? Where were you when the globalists were caught trafficking millions of children for sex slavery worldwide? Where were you when the New World Order was starting World War III with Russia? Well, I know where you are. You're watching and listening to InfoWars.com right now, and I salute you and thank you. And I want to encourage all of you who've been in this fight so long to realize we've reached the critical juncture in the battle now. And a key tool in that fight is the Great Awakening, defeating the globalists, and launching the next great renaissance. This is my second book, part two of the Great Reset and the War for the World. It's a longer book, a quite frankly more powerful book. And just like the last book went to number one, it is up to you to send us to number one right now. This is a cultural fight against the globalists, and it funds the InfoWar. Get signed or unsigned copies of The Great Awakening right now at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for your support, but this is a book everybody needs. Get your copy of The Great Awakening right now.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. Harrison Smith and Chase Geiser sitting in for Alex today. Of course, you can support everything we do here by going to InfoWarsStore.com. And I don't know, is there any other media outlet that is as dedicated as InfoWars is and has been for the last several decades in avoiding war and avoiding falling into the psychological traps that are laid for us to encourage populations to call for war? I mean, it actually feels nice being at InfoWars and being able to look back at the last several decades of endless warfare and conflict overseas and to say we've been on the right side of all of these events because we've always called for peace, we've always called for non-intervention, we've always called for people to just calm down, not fall for the emotionally provocative images that they show or claims that they make to try to rile people up in order to override the logical faculties and get us into just this death match from which there is no winner. Nobody comes out on top. And at the end of the day, this isn't a conflict between Palestine and Israel. It's a, I mean, obviously it is, but the implications for this and the way that the rest of the world is being pulled into this are extremely dangerous and could very well lead to World War III. And you really have to ask yourself, what are we fighting over here? What is this worth it? Is this just an eye for an eye, you know, on and on forever? Are we fighting for, you know, to free the people of Gaza or to, you know, insist that they stay in Gaza forever? It's like, really, that's what we're going to go to World War III to ensure that the people of Gaza don't have rights at all ever? I mean, that's the way I see it. But, you know, regardless of where you land on the divide between and the way they're trying to frame this whole conflict is Israel or Jews versus Muslims. It's Jews versus Muslims. Whose side are you on? Who should be eradicated completely? And who, you know, who do you support? And it's like, what a sick and demented way to even look at this conflict. The only possible outcome to benefit really anybody would be some sort of peace at this point. I mean, maybe that's what this could, as horrible as this attack against Israel was, can this not be a wake-up call to everybody that this cannot continue like this anymore? Something has to change. The status quo is just enough already. Something has to change one way or another. And in my opinion, that doesn't mean one side has to be genocided completely, which we're seeing a lot of people on the right wing making that argument. I have a post here from Joel Polak, who I believe is the editor of Breitbart News. He posted this on Saturday. He said, I have broken the Sabbath and Jewish holiday to deliver this message. Israel should wipe out Gaza, allow 48 hours to evacuate women, children, and the elderly, destroy everything that remains. So I guess the implication there is kill all of the men, plow it under, and annex it to Israel. This is the end for Hamas and Palestinian terror. I mean, if that's not a call for genocide, I don't know what is. And I don't know, maybe this is a controversial platform to take, but I'm against genocide, Chase.
It's so funny because Alex Jones isn't on Twitter because of hate speech or misinformation. And I know that he's been classified as hate speech by certain financial institutions, and we struggle with that. But you're right on the money, because I can't think of a single instance in any of the broadcasts that I've listened to over the last 20 years where Alex or even this network has advocated in favor of an existing war or an impending war.
Mm.
He's a pacifist. He has advocated for war about as often as the Dalai Lama.
Right.
Like zero times, right?
Right.
And so you've got this hate speech that is real hate speech where people on Twitter are allowed to call for actual genocide.
Yeah, literal.
But we're the ones that are censored because we're constantly calling for peace. And it just goes to show how much the establishment, how much the narrative wants there to be violence as long as it's on their terms.
100%. They absolutely rely on war to progress their entire agenda. And again, you know, you're right. It is good that we're not on either side of this or you know, so-called experts, because experts tend to land on either one side or the other. But I mean, is it impossible to feel sympathy or empathy for both these sides? I have Palestinian friends. I have Jewish friends. I have Jewish friends whose, you know, families right now are in bunkers, you know, because they're being attacked. I don't want them to be attacked. I don't want them to lose their family members, obviously. But at the same time, I don't think that Israel can continue to treat the Palestinians as they have and not expect anything. And again, it doesn't matter whether you think it's right or not. It's a matter of reality. When you put people in a situation that, like the one that exists in Gaza, you're going to almost require, you know, it requires, it demands, there's going to be violence as an outcome of that, because you're putting people in a impossible position. And you know, talking about the art of war and Sun Tzu, I mean, the people in Gaza have no escape. They have no, ability to get out of where they are. So you've got to, and Sun Tzu, you know, they say really avoid that, because a cornered animal will fight
right
with everything it's got.
Like Dunkirk.
Right.
They're just stuck on the beach there. And the difference is, in Dunkirk, for some reason, the Germans didn't attack the vulnerable troops of the enemy. But here they are facing this annihilation.
Mm.
But I'm with you. I empathize with the innocent people on both sides. But I just want to be very careful and explicit in that. And maybe this is a character failing of mine. I have no empathy for the actual perpetrators of that type of violence.
Right.
You know, if an institution or a government had attacked my family and done terrible things to me, as Israel may have been doing over the last decades to the Palestinians, I wouldn't respond by attacking innocent people that are constituents of that. Maybe I would respond by getting involved against the actual enemy, but it's like the mafia, right? The mafia, they even have rules when there's violence. Like, hey, no kids, no family, don't whack the kids, don't whack the wife if there's an issue. You go after the person that committed the crime or didn't hold up to the deal, but you don't go after the innocents around them. And the fact that it's gotten to the point where there's that level of lack of honor just goes to show, I think, how irreparable the relationship is. And I don't advocate for the genocide of any people. But I do think that the only way this is resolved is if there's a total, complete victory on one side or the other.
Well, I don't know how that's going to come. Again, the latest is that, they're in this situation where, they're complaining. Israeli media right now is saying not only is Hezbollah limiting us in the north, right? So Hezbollah is in Lebanon, it's to the north of Israel. And they're launching missiles, and there's sort of some back and forth fighting happening right now. Hezbollah is being very careful to only do that in places that are contested, places like Sheba Farms, which is Israeli-occupied but technically Lebanese territory, or the Golan Heights, which is technically Syrian territory but Israeli-occupied. So they so far have not attacked the Israeli sovereign land other than the Sheba Farms and Golan Heights. So they're being very careful in that. But Israeli media is saying, not only is Hezbollah limiting us in the north now where they exist, but they're now limiting us in the south by saying, if you invade Gaza, then we'll get involved. And so Israel is sort of hamstrung, and they're not about to go into Gaza and then open up a second front to their north. And they tried to go into Gaza in 2008, and it was a total disaster. They really can't invade Gaza with ground troops without carrying out an intense bombing campaign every block and then taking that block over and then bombing the next and then taking the next. And what happens to the 2 million people that live there now? It's a mass murder. So, like, how can you be calling for that and claim you're on the good side? And then, you look at the images that came out of the women being dragged away and stuff, and it's like, well, I can't be on these people's side anyway, so I'm not on anybody's side. But there is a reality and a sort of equation, a mathematics to what's going on in the warfare spectrum that is undeniable, and that you can't understand without at least trying to put yourself in the mindset of both of the combatants, putting yourself in the mindset of Israelis that are terrified of being pulled out of their beds and killed by Muslim extremists. But you also have to be able to sympathize with the Palestinian people who go, we've been under, attacks for the last several decades. We can't take this anymore. This is intolerable. And at this point, the latest is that Israel has ordered an immediate cutoff to Gaza's water supply. They've halted the electricity supply to Gaza. Bibi Netanyahu has told Biden, we have no choice. We have to go into Gaza. Because, again, they really don't, because if they don't go into Gaza, that means that they're not the ones that are the top dog in the Middle East anymore. It means their action is being determined by Hezbollah, essentially, because Hezbollah is saying, if you go in there, we'll attack. If they don't go in, it's sort of ceding, it's almost ceding sovereignty of themselves. They are in an impossible situation. But, again, how this relates to Russia and Ukraine, that's where it gets really interesting and terrible.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life Crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life Crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Jones Show. I'm Chase Geiser with the distinguished Harrison Smith on the Alex Jones Show for Alex Today. Exciting things happening in Alex's world today, which I'm sure you will hear about when he gets back. So much going on. We were talking about covering the news during the break, and all of the articles, 98% of them, are all about this issue. And Harrison and I spent a couple hours chatting this morning about this dynamic. And I was trying to figure out how this all ties in together, all these issues. Obviously, the entire world knows that we have an incredibly weak president. And it's sort of a slow roll. It was like one bad thing would happen, and then when the repercussions for that didn't seem to be enough, you'd see another bad thing over here, another bad thing over there. And all these pieces I actually do think are connected in that we have Iran funding the Palestinian attack, supporting the Palestinians. We know that China supports Iran. We know that Russia has basically completed a victory in Ukraine. And I'm wondering, how is Ukraine tied into what's going on with Israel and Palestine? They seem totally unrelated. But when we think about how Putin and President Xi have sort of been in cahoots the last couple of years, and all these alliances, these uncommon or unexpected alliances, I think there is one narrative. I think that what we have is a situation in which we have bullied all of these nations, basically every nation in the world, for decades, using sanctions because the dollar is the petrodollar, because it's the global reserve currency. We can come in and freeze assets. We can come in and leverage that power to really harm and damage anyone we want, whether it's friends or allies. We can blackmail or coerce them into doing the things that we want them to do. And that is something that has been incredibly taxing on the world in terms of their happiness or satisfaction, I think, with the United States' place in it.
Mm.
And it's similar to, like, King George. For a long period of time, it says this in the Declaration of Independence, a people will bear abuse for a long period of time before a threshold is crossed in which they actually decide to stand up and do something about it. And after all of these years of billions upon billions, trillions upon trillions of dollars in sanctions and abuse and manipulation and coercion, I think that the international community has come together and decided we got to do something about this bully that is the United States. So we know that China is dependent on the United States for agriculture, for a lot of its food imports. We know that traditionally China's been dependent on imports for oil, natural gas, especially from Saudi Arabia, which of course is sort of at the center of OPEC. And with Russia having control, whether it's outwardly or under the cover of Ukraine, that's the breadbasket of Europe. So what if those resources, instead of being exported to Europe, were exported exclusively to China to minimize China's dependence on the United States for agriculture? Simultaneously, Russia would then have control over the energy exports and that pathway, that trade route through Ukraine, in a way that would make it independent of NATO. That energy could be sent both to China and the Middle Eastern communities. And then with the elimination of Israel in the Middle East, there's no military strength of the United States. So we have the collapse of our agriculture exports to China. We have the establishment of the independence of China. We have the establishment of the independence of Russia and increased exports for them. And we've unified all of the Middle East against Israel, which could be eradicated, except for Saudi Arabia, which is a competitor to Iran.
Right.
That introduces a climate in which China could say, hey, look, the dollar is no longer going to be tied to oil. There's no more petrodollar. It's now going to be the yen. And that could be a total collapse, I think, of our economy. They could take Taiwan. And we've got all these refugees all over Europe from these terrible trade deals that we've made. We've got all these immigrants storming into our border. Many of them, I think, are of this persuasion. They could just activate the sleeper cells in our country and all across Europe if we tried to fight against it. What do you think?
No, I think all of that's accurate. I think a lot of this does have to do with the death or the reorganization of the world economy post-petrodollar. I mean, I think that's fairly obvious. In fact, you know, a lot of these things are being done sort of out in the open from Reuters. Arab League chief heads to Moscow for talks after Hamas attack on Israel. So you've got the Arab League chief Ahmed Abul Ghit heading to Moscow on Sunday for talks with Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov. So, I mean, and, you know, from the war in Syria, I mean, the fact is that, like, we're both on the cusp of World War III and have kind of been in World War III for the last, like, 10 years. I mean, with Syria and the help they've gotten from Russia and the, you know, continuing attacks against them from either America or Israel, this is all a snowball rolling downhill. Now might be a good time to go to this video that I'm sure a lot of our audience has seen before, but in case you haven't, this is a stark warning against falling for what some of the crew is bringing up there. People like Nikki Haley saying, now's the time we have to get into war with Iran. The military-industrial complex has been salivating over the idea of war with Iran for the last 20 years, no less. And General Wesley Clark, back in 2003, made this statement saying that the U.S. military was planning on actually invading 7 countries in 5 years. A very famous clip. But it's good to keep this in mind as you hear people beating the war drums in really disturbingly flippant ways. I mean, they're just like, we just got to go to war with Iran, as if that's just like, we'll just do it and everything will be fine. It's absurd. And I mean, it's what Biden has done by essentially, you have like a playground scuffle. America is the teacher. We run everything, right? I mean, America runs everything. We are the top dog in the world still to this day. China's making moves, but it's America still. And instead of being like the teacher coming in and separating the kids, going, all right, we're going to settle this peacefully. I'm not going to let you two fight. First one to throw a punch, I'm going to take out. Like, instead of doing that, what Biden has said is, you can imagine the teacher going, I'm going to give a stick and a rock to this kid and let him do whatever the heck he wants. And I'm not going to get, you know, involved unless somebody else comes. And then you've got these other countries like Iran and Syria. They're like seeing their younger cousins essentially getting beaten up on the playground and going, all right, we're going to go beat up the teacher if he doesn't stop. I mean, it's insane that Biden, and again, I'm not even saying it's not the same decision I would make, but the fact is that by saying that we're not going to get involved and saying, but saying Israel can take the gloves off and do whatever they want, he's just setting up massive conflict in the very near future. So let's go to this video of Wesley Clark. This is clip number 15 from back in 2003, talking about the fact that even back then, the American military had this long distance plan to invade Iran. Let's watch.
Right after 9/11, about 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the Joint Staff who had used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, "No." He says, "We've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq. Why?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I guess they don't know what else to do." So I said, "Well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to Al-Qaeda?" He said, no. He says, "There's nothing new that way. They just made the decision to go to war with Iraq." He said, "I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments." And he said, "I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail." So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that." He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper. He said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today. And he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran."
So that's been the plan for at least the last 20 years. We're going to continue covering this into the next hour, again, talking about what the latest developments are, a new aircraft carrier force, so the largest aircraft carrier in our military, moving to the Eastern Mediterranean in support of Israel. Israel essentially saying they are going to invade Gaza, which is going to bring in Hezbollah. I mean, again, the dominoes are lined up. They're ready to be knocked down. If this isn't handled with extreme tact and skillfulness, this is World War III. This is the shot heard around the world. So we'll be covering that. I do want to remind you, go to InfoWarsStore.com to support everything that we do here. I know people are probably upset that Alex isn't in today on this, you know, monumentally, historically important thing. There's a good reason. And like Chase said, you'll find out that reason very shortly. We are continuing to expand. We're continuing to provide coverage in only a way that InfoWars can, that is demanding peace and non-intervention and not taking sides in this strive for genocide. So I hope you can support us by going to InfoWarsStore.com, knowing that you're supporting this powerful voice, not just for free speech and the American way and just getting back to our roots of truth, justice, and all the beautiful things that our founders and forefathers left to us, but also moving into the future in a way that is peaceful for all mankind. InfoWarsStore.com is where you go to support and carry out that mission. Stay with us.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.